Taiwan special time. I was down at the beach this week, and I was talking with some business bigwigs in Taiwan. And I was asking what they thought about China and stability in the region, and one thing that he pointed out to me, which I just really, really thought was fascinating, he said, China has a military that wants to be important. There are many officers in China's military that want promoted, and the only way to get promoted, at least substantially, is to have a war. You got all these generals and soldiers, they've never had a war. Like, you know, these military guys are itching to have a war. Now, American soldiers are not itching to have a war. Some of them, you know, I suppose, but, you know, America's military, people will go out on active duty and they'll come back and, you know, they love their country and their families and they enjoy their profession. There's a culture of America's military. China's military? No. They want to be important. And so it was just really, really interesting how he pointed this out to me, that China's military wants to be important. They want to get big and rise up in their ranks and be important and dominant, and that's a political factor in Xi Jinping, China's president. As a leader, he's got to keep those military guys happy. So in order to keep the military supporting him, he's got to have a war. That's just an interesting thing to think about. So as all this is happening in other places, that was an interesting thought. Now, another thing happening in China's military, especially the Navy, is that naval commanders will do things not because it's a smart idea, but just because they can. So, you know, there might, you know, be a fishing boat and they decide to go harass the fishing boat, not because it's wise or they were ordered to, but just because, you know, he can be bossy and become famous and, you know, maybe rise in his ranks or something, I suppose. I don't know. Some of these close calls, for example, with the United States, those could just be a Navy captain operating kind of on his own, and maybe China sort of letting him, but they might not necessarily have orders to go as far as they're going. They might. We don't know. But there have been problems with China's naval commanders, the people in charge calling the shots, out there in the water, doing stuff just because they can, not because it's wise or because it's part of the larger grand strategy. That's something to keep aware of. Now, I know that's happening because of the newspapers. I follow the newspapers. I write about this stuff. But I get that. I understand that firsthand. It makes sense to me because I live here. I've seen it. I know what that is. A lot of Chinese people, a lot of people with that culture, that we're talking Japan, Korea, Taiwan, well, you know, Hong Kong's kind of hard to say. It's not, I mean, Hong Kong is directly under China. It's not allowed to have a military. So Hong Kong is is technically a separate country, but it's underneath China, like I suppose Guam and Puerto Rico are. Except it would be if Puerto Rico had its own passports that were under the United States. So we've got all these different we've got these different cultures in the Far East, and they have this thing where they want to be important, and they'll go out and they'll do things just to be important. And in a lot of the situations, you get this culture clash. You get the American, the Westerner comes over to Asia. They want to speak English. They want to be teaching ESL. They want to be speaking and teaching English. That's the gig they want. They have that clash with the boss over in East Asia because of this whole thing about the boss wanting to be important, having long meetings that are useless because everybody's looking at him makes him feel important. And they literally are unaware of the bottom lines, of the dollars, of the amount of man hours spent with these long meetings. They don't see the dollars lost. They don't see the customers that they're losing by keeping employee morale so low. They don't get that. None of that stuff even registers to them because they're so busy trying to be self-important. So then the American comes along, the Westerner or whatever, says, I don't like this. I don't see, you know, what this is all about. Well, sorry, dude, this isn't about making the company better. This is about making the boss feel better. So when you disagree with that, the boss doesn't feel better anymore. He hates you, wants to fire you because you're not there to help the company make money. You're there to help the boss feel better. And, you know, when you get into these business schools, you get into leadership, you get into Christian missions teaching, you get when you get into people in other countries, they will talk about this attitude problem. And when they talk about this attitude thing, generally in the West, they will say, it's a different culture. It's a different culture. So respect it. Now, when I came over here to Asia, I already had my culture shock from 4 years in Cabrini Green in Chicago. So when I came over to Asia, I wasn't in shock about being in a different culture. I was asking how this culture is different. I get the concept of a culture being different. I wanted to know how this culture was different. That's where I was when I was over here. I think that a lot of the people in the West who say these personality leadership style differences are merely a matter of cultural difference, not a meaningful matter of cultural difference, but a mere matter of cultural difference, I don't think that they've been through enough culture shock. They're still stuck on, oh, it's a different culture. Like, that's where they still are with their learning and stuff. They haven't gotten to the point of saying, okay, it's a different culture, but is it good? Is this how things ought to be? See, because when you're just going through the early stages of culture shock, you don't think about that. Well, and then there are always the guys that come in and they want to change everything like yesterday. Like, I want to, it's bad, we've got to change it right now. It's like, well, no, it's nothing changes right now. Like, that doesn't happen. That doesn't mean that it's good, though. So we've got the people who want to change everything right now. We've got the people who say it should never change. And I say no. I say we all should change. The question is how. And no, I don't think that this leadership difference, this leadership style, I don't think that it's merely a cultural difference. It's immaturity. Trying to be self-important is bratty. Trying to prove yourself and show them that, oh, I do know what I'm talking about, that's childish. And there are a lot of leaders in Asia that are like that. And if you want to understand, if we want to understand, if our military, if our strategists, if our leaders want to understand what in the world is going on with China, whether we're talking military, we're talking money, trade, whatever, if we want to understand what's going on in China, we got to get this. It's immature. It's bratty. Now, there are arguments for, you know, does China have a big head because we gave them unfair trade tipped in their favor and we let them steal so much technology that they neither thought of nor came up with nor researched nor developed on their own. They just copied it from us because they just copy, like a lot of piano students do, rather than learning how to invent their own music because that's what the teachers teach. You know, that's another topic altogether. But we've, you know, we could talk about that, how that gave China a false sense of pride. But rather than going there, I'll just say there's a lot of immaturity in the Far East, just a lot of it. And if we in the West would stop saying that it's a nominal difference, and we would, see it for what it is. You love children, but that doesn't mean that you let them just do whatever they want. They need to grow up. And if we see that there's a need to slowly, properly grow up, and we approach things that way, whether talking business or Christian missions, things would go a lot better in Asia and in China and in those other countries. Well, that was my thought for the day, a recent conversation. You know, Xi Jinping is dealing with a military full of this. You've got a lot of immature leaders over there, and they want to be important. And one of the things that Xi Jinping has to deal with is a military full of people that are as eager to prove themselves like teenagers. And if you don't let them have what they want, you're going to start smashing stuff at home. But that's another question altogether, whether China's stronger on land or strong on the high seas. But you already know the answer to that, right?